The thing about Christmas season and the joy and celebration that goes with Christmas and a lot of families get together and a joyous time of year. Also want to recognize this morning that there's a lot of pain around too this time of year, and a lot of concern and sickness, and we want to recognize that this morning. And don't forget those that you know who are struggling, and that it may not be a joyous time this year with what they may be dealing with. And you know, think of Mark and Starla this morning, and just what they're going through. And I pray that each of us are lifting them up daily to God for healing and for strength for their journey. But in the midst of our pain, we're drawn to Jesus, the answer, the giver of grace, the answer to our problems. And as I was thinking about the Christmas story this year, you know, it's like we've heard the story over and over again. And what can we pull out of it again that'll help us on our walk and our journey? And as I was reading, something did jump out at me. And it was about Mary. And I want to bring a message entitled, Mary, Ready and Willing. And I was thinking about Mary. The thing that jumped out about Mary was her availability to be used by God. Just her availability. And to think that God looked down and said, Mary, I want you to be the mother of Jesus. The weight that put on Mary. It wasn't that Mary was perfect or sinless, or that we're to worship her. What was it about her that God found favor with her and wanted her to be the mother of Jesus? And sometimes we're motivated by people, by their talents and their abilities, and we say, man, if I could just be like so-and-so. I shared that already how, you know, growing up, I'd like to be like certain people or be able to do things. And you probably did too. And you could say, you know, if I could just play like so-and-so, or if I could just do like so-and-so, or whatever your field is, you probably look up to someone. And I built some fence. And, you know, it takes me a while with a post driver to get a post straight. And we had a crew come in from over here to put some fence up, and they pound those posts straight line. They just fly down through there, and I'm like, wow, if I could just do like Jason. It wasn't Jason. But, you know, if I could just be like, you know, then I would have attained. This morning I want us to take inspiration from the one of whom it was said is highly favored. And I want that to inspire us on our journey. And it's something that all of us can have said of us, that we are highly favored by our Heavenly Father. What more could we want than to be highly favored by our Heavenly Father? Let's read this passage in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man who was named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. An angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying and cast her mind on what manner of salutation this should be. Angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto you him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her, who hath been called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy words. And the angel departed from her. This morning I broke the message into four parts. I want to talk about who Mary is, what we know about her. I want to talk about what's special about her, why God found favor with her. Then I have an illustration. Then I want to have some application. I want to point three things out about Mary that, just about who she was. Number one, Mary was young, and she was pledged to be married. And I was told this engagement is a little different than our engagement today. It had more weight to it, it was more binding. And also, she was very young. It was said that she could have been 12 or 13. Some think more 16, some 18, not sure. But she was young when Gabriel visited her and told her this message. And you might think, wow, that's young. How can God use someone like that? And you may think you're too young to be used. But apparently God didn't think so. I want you to keep in mind the theme throughout all of when we talk about Mary, what God thought and what people think. Second thing, she was poor. We know that because when Mary and Joseph went to offer their offering, they were supposed to take a lamb. And if they didn't have a lamb, they were supposed to take pigeons or doves. And they took two doves because they couldn't afford a lamb. And so the second thing we need to consider is Jesus. God picked Mary out of a poor home to be the mother of Jesus. And so you may think, well, I don't have enough money to be used by God. Or why did God choose Mary being so poor? But God saw otherwise. Number three, she was from Nazareth, which was had a bad reputation. When Nathanael found out Jesus was coming from Nazareth, he said, What good can come from Nazareth? It's like the wrong side of the tracks or the wrong side of the river. Those of you who know me, I live on the west side of the river, and I have a joke about I come to Canaan to church, and so yeah. But no, Nazareth carried a connotation of maybe like our maybe Las Vegas, and as I read about Nazareth, maybe not quite as bad as Las Vegas, but they had low morals and were known for their weak religion, character and religion. And again, you may think, no way, she can't come from Nazareth. God cannot use anyone from a city like that. No telling what she saw when she grew up or what she was exposed to or what she was involved in. But God said, it doesn't matter. I'm going to choose Mary. So there she was. She was young, she was poor, and she was from the wrong side of the tracks. All characteristics that by man's standard would say, nah, I'm not going to pick her. But God saw something better and something different. That's why he chose her for his important job. And as I go along here, I want to make some practical applications. And the thing that jumped out to me as I think about who Mary was and her background, and you know, you may think you're too young, too poor, or from the wrong family to be used by God. You may think that you made too many mistakes in your past that God can't use you. But don't limit God. Don't put God in a box. God can use you. The phrase jumped out to me as I read the passage was, for God, with God, nothing is impossible. And I wish Herb would have explained more about his little story. But pretty amazing. I'll let him tell you that. And then you will agree that with God, nothing is impossible. And as I think about all the princesses and queens and wealthy people of the day, God chose a poor girl by the name of Mary. God was looking at something different than man looked. God was looking at her heart. And that she found favor with him, and she honored God with her life. And God used her, and she trusted God to be the mother of Jesus. Question I want to ask, do you believe God can use you? You may think you're too small or too young or too poor or too whatever. But I finally see a humorous saying that said, if you think you're too small to be effective, you've never been bitten in bed by a mosquito. A little mosquito is pretty effective, makes an impact, something to ponder. I've never filled a job application out. Some of you have. You probably think I'm unemployed. No. But on the job application, they want to know all about you, what makes you qualified for the job. They want to know details, your background, your education, your history, what makes you qualified for the job. And they ask you many important questions, but one they don't ask is your availability, because they assume you're available or you wouldn't be applying for the job. Can you imagine going, applying for a job and you fill it out and they say, yep, I'll hire you. They say, no, I can't do the job, I'm not available. Well, it's like, then why did you come fill it out? They assume your availability. They want to discover your talents and why I should hire you to fill the position. But I don't think God operates that way. You know, I think God's given us gifts and abilities, but I believe God looks far more at our heart and our character and devotion to him. And God can use you and can make you speak, can make you do things that you think you could never do. Just think of Moses. He said, I can't talk. God said, don't worry about that. I'll use you. There's been people I know who said, I can't have devotions. I can't do this. I can't do that. But God can work through you. God can lead. I remember the first time I had devotions. I pronounced a word wrong, and I felt like falling through the floor. And I thought, man, I'm going to quit. I'm going to give up. But God can use you if you're willing to give him your heart. What's special about Mary? I want to look at the person of Mary, who she really was. And why, out of all the women of Judah, did God choose Mary, a poor a girl that she was, to carry the Redeemer of the world? Gabriel said, thou art favored above all women. Thou art highly favored. And what was it that caught God's attention? What was it that catches God's attention of us? Is it our abilities or is it our heart? Now, I can't speak for God, but there is five things I want to point out that she had, that she possessed. And I think that God looks for us, traits in us as well, that really matter in being used by God, being willing to be used by God. Number one was her own need for salvation. She recognized her need of salvation. There is a denomination that says that Mary was sinless, but the Bible doesn't say that. She recognized her need of salvation. I want to, in a couple of minutes, I'm going to read the praise of her heart. That it just says so much about Mary when we'll read this psalm, this song that she wrote. And she said in there, she recognized God as her Savior. She recognized her need of salvation. Of course, she was carrying the child that would be the Savior of the world. In Luke 19, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And then Mary recognized her need of salvation, her need of that relationship with God. And again, I ponder the question, do you recognize your need of salvation? a need of a Savior. You cannot unless you believe the gospel message. Unless you made the decision to repent and surrender your will to the Lord. Unless you verbally made a confession to God, believing that He is the Son of God, the Son of the living God. You can't unless you've been buried with Christ and raised in newness of life and confess that Jesus is Lord. If you've taken these steps, then you can say, yes, Jesus is my Savior. But if not, I challenge you. Take that step. Recognize Jesus as Savior, as Mary did. The second thing I noticed is she was willing to surrender her life to God's will. Willing to surrender her life to God's will. Even though it was going to bring many challenges and difficulties and a lot of things she was going to have to face because she was going to carry Jesus, the Savior of the world. I don't think any of us can fathom what she had to deal with. All the ridicule of having a child and not being married. What people would say. I'm sure she, as a young person, had hopes and dreams, and you'd be young to identify her being young and having hopes and dreams, and someday I'm going to be whatever, and I'm going to grow up to do this or to do that. But here God stepped in and said, Mary, your life's going to be changed forever. And her willingness to surrender her will to God's will and say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to take this step. I'm willing to do this for you. Mary said in verse 38, behold, the bondslave of the Lord. Be it done according to your will. And I love the submissive heart of Mary, how she was willing to submit to God and humble herself. I think the first step for every one of us who want to find favor with God, to have that God say that we are highly favored, is a surrender of our will to God's will. And to be a bondslave to God, for God, meaning that Mary totally belonged to the Lord and gave God permission to do whatever in her life, to work His will through her life. And I love her attitude. Her heart's attitude enabled her to worship God, as we're going to read here in a few minutes, her praise song. It says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And her submissiveness was enabled her to get direction and an understanding of God's will for her life and being submissive to God. And I think of Christians today who offer themselves to God. And I think of the verse in Romans 12, 1 and 2, offer yourselves a living sacrifice to God, holding acceptable to Him, which is a spiritual act of worship to God, of offering ourselves to God. Say, here I am, Lord, use me. And I think of men in the Bible who have taken that step and have done that. You think of Jesus who said that, not my will, but yours. I think of Paul. I think of the disciples, how God went up to, Jesus went up to them and called them to be His disciples. And they were willing to surrender their lives to what God wanted for them. And you probably know people in your own life who have said, yes, Lord, I surrender to your will. And isn't that what each of us have done who have accepted Jesus as our Savior? We said, Lord, I want you to take over. I want your will to be my will. The next set of traits comes from her song, her declaration from her heart of praise to God. You know, when in Scripture it talks about Elizabeth was inspired by the Holy Spirit to say certain things, but it doesn't indicate that with Mary's psalm here. And I think it gives a picture into Mary's heart out of her reverence and love for God. It comes from deep within, and we can see the character coming out here, and maybe a little picture of why God chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus. Let's read that together, 46 to 55. It's Mary's song. It says, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for He hath regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. And behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty hath done great things for me, and holy is His name. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has shattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones. He has exalted the lowly. For he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. I just get a picture of Mary's just overflowing with the love of God in her heart. And it just gives me an affirmation of why God chose this lady, this woman, this young girl, to be the mother of Jesus. Because I see the picture there of her heart devoted fully to God. Third thing I want to point out was she possessed a reverence for God. And again, her first phrase there, "My soul magnifies the Lord." What does magnify mean? It's what these things do here. They make the words bigger so I can see, unfortunately. And magnify, her soul magnified the Lord. Her soul is everything within her. Her whole being blew up the Lord, magnify the Lord. And does our lives magnify the Lord? Does your soul magnify the Lord and bless his holy name? Fourth thing was she knew the scriptures. Not only did she know the promises made to her Jewish fathers and patriarchs in verse 55, but she actually quoted verses from Psalms 103 and 107. So she obviously knew the scriptures, and they were a part of her everyday life. And she memorized them. And I believe it shaped her inner life and it affected her outer life into who she was. Knowing the scriptures. Do we know the scriptures? Do we memorize his words? Do we meditate on his words? And the fifth thing was, she possessed a great understanding of scriptures. Apart from the effect on her life, I think she obviously possessed the understanding of the bigger picture of what God was doing through her to bring the Messiah through a poor, lowly woman rather than a rich, powerful, wealthy family in Jerusalem or some other major city. She said, God has shattered those who were proud in thought and in heart. Mary praised God for her special favor on her. Mary saw herself as part of the godly remnant that had served Yahweh. She called him my Savior, showing her acquaintance with him and her relationship with him. She spoke of his faithfulness, his power, his holiness, his mercy. And she praised God for the favor on Israel, through which the child that she would bear, God was being merciful to Abraham and his descendants. And God was fulfilling his covenant made to Abraham. Mary had a heart devoted to God. She saw her need of a Savior. She was willing to surrender her life to God's will. She praised God with adoration and worship. She had knowledge of Scripture, and she had an understanding of the Scripture. I think that gives us a little window into the heart of Mary, who Mary was, and why God chose this woman to be the mother of Jesus. I have a little illustration I want to share with you to bring out the theme of the message is being ready and available to be used by God. And the challenge through Mary, how she availed herself to be used by God, and she was ready on demand. Keep that in your mind. She was ready on demand. My illustration, I'm going to use a baseball analogy. I'm going to be a manager, and I know Travis and Kent are here, and they're going to say, you don't know how to manage. But I'm going to manage anyway. I'm going to verbalize what me as a manager is thinking in this game situation. It's the bottom of the ninth. There's a runner on first base, and there's no outs. And I'm thinking, how can I get this runner to second base? And the batter that's coming up, what I want him to do, I don't think he can do very well. And so I'm looking over my roster and saying, who can I get to pinch hit to get what I want done here in this game situation? So I'm looking over my roster, and one name jumps out at me, and it's Herb Weaver. And so I'm going to insert Herb in my lineup, and I want Herb to bat for me. Herb, what are you doing?
I got a new phone here, and I got to download some pictures.
Herb, we're in a game.
I know, but this is more important right now.
Hey, we want to win the game. The game's on the line. I need you.
Yeah, I know, but I want to download a couple of those pictures here that I got the other day.
Herb, I need you to be prepared to play.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I need you right away. I need you to be prepared.
Huh, okay.
How are you going to... You don't even have a bat. How are you going to bat for me?
Yeah, I got the right clothing, and I got a good glove. And
well, you need a bat.
I do a lot of exercise, and I'm fit. I'm ready to go. I don't need to practice.
Herb... Here, I'll give you a bat, and I want you to bat for me.
Okay.
And I need this runner moved to second base.
You asking me to bunt?
I want you to bunt.
I don't bunt, man. I just hit home runs.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
I don't know. When I signed a contract here, I just agreed to hit doubles and home runs. I don't bunt, so I don't even know how to bunt. I guess if you really need me, I can go practice a while and come back a little later when you need me.
No, Herb, I need you right now.
Now?
I need you now.
Nah, I have to go practice again and try it. Sorry, I'm not ready.
I'll look over my roster.
All right.
Thanks, Herb. You know, I think a lot of times, not every illustration is perfect, and I don't want you to take this whole illustration and run with it, but what I want to pull from this illustration is the mindset of a pinch hitter. I don't know how many guys are on a ball team, but every day they come to the park, and the starting 9 or 10 players expect to play every day. And so they come to the park expecting to play every day. Well, a pinch hitter... He comes to the park, he don't know if he's going to play or not. Like Herb, he didn't know he was going to be called upon in that situation to give me a bunt to get the runner to second base. Is that right, Kent? He didn't say no. he'll tell me later. But, you know, I needed him for that moment to get that runner to second base. Now, a pinch hitter has to do everything that a regular guy has to do. He has to practice. He has to perfect his skill. He has to stay in shape. He needs to run, lift, be in full exercise. He needs to study the game. He needs to know the players, know the pitchers, know game situations, know what's expected in certain situations. And he needs to pay attention during the game, not download pictures. But he needs to be sitting there on the bench with the mindset of what the manager may be thinking of what I can do if I'm called upon in a game situation. And they need to be ready at the manager's request to jump in the game. And, that's what I see. That's what I see of Mary. She was ready on demand. She didn't have to go and, like Herb was going to go practice his bunts. And she was ready, fully devoted to God, committed to her manager, to be available and to be used by God. And as Christians, I guess, are we in game shape? Are we attentive to his voice? Are we students of his words? Are we willing to do God's will, to die to our selfish desires? Are we fully devoted to God? Or are there things that are blocking that when God looks over his roster and wants to use someone for a specific situation, that he'll have to bypass you and go to the next player? Colossians 3:8-9 says, But now you must put away all of them. Put away all anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie one to another, seeing you have put off the old self with its practices. Now, sometimes we carry around baggage that hinder our availability to God. We carry around attitudes or habits or things that block our availability for God to use us. In application, God uses people who desire to do His will. And that's what I saw in Mary, a person devoted to God, ready to do His will. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, but it's not automatic. It's not automatic. You have a choice. You have a free will. You know, you have the right to waste your life and do nothing. That's a right God's given you. But that's not what He wants for you. That's not what God's desire is for you. God has a plan for you. Imagine when Gabriel came to Mary and said, "Mary, I want you to be the mother of Jesus." Mary didn't say, "You know, God, that's not a good career choice for me. How about getting someone else? I have my own dreams, my own goals, my own desires. Just get someone else. Go to the next player on your list." Mary desired God's will for her life. She wanted to do what God wanted her to do. Is that our desire, to do what God wants us to do? Or do we just want to do as little as possible just to get by? David said in Psalms 40, verse 8, "I desire to know your will, O my God. Your law is written within my heart." Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, 9, "So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it." So I ask you the question this Christmas season, as we celebrate Jesus' birth, I'm made to ponder, what doesn't God have? You know, God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the whole world. Everything is His. But He doesn't have all of you unless you give it to Him. Is there something you're holding on to in your life that you don't want to let go, that's blocking your availability to be used by God? In closing, what an awesome thought. Just think about it for a moment. For the God of the universe to say, "You are highly favored." Can you think of anything greater that you would want to have said of you than for God to say, "I've found favor with you and you're highly favored"? And the thought that I need to live my life so that when the manager calls, I'm available and I'm ready. I'm in game shape. My house is in order. My will was surrendered to the will of the Father. Use me, Lord. Young people, I think about ahead of, and I think there's a lot of decisions that you have to make. Are you being faithful to God? And so someday in God's plan for you, it says, put your name in there. I need you to be a husband or a wife. And I want you to be involved with kids clubs, or I want you to be missionaries, or I want you to be parents of a great woman of and men of God. And you can say, "Yes, Lord, with a pure heart, here am I, my house is in order." You know, this is not a dress rehearsal. This is the real deal. And the window of time is so short. And we have one chance to live this life fully devoted to God. Or are you not listening to His voice? Are there thoughts, attitudes, things in place that shouldn't be? Again, I want to affirm that I know we're not perfect. And you may be struggling right now with things in your life, and God cares about that too. He has come to bind the brokenhearted and offer grace in time of need and strength. But is your heart fully devoted to God? Is He your Savior? And guess what? If you are in a relationship with God and you're listening to His voice, and God looks over His roster and says, "Put your name in there. I need you to whatever. I need you to be an encourager today. I think of Betty. I didn't ask her to use this, but I'm going to try it anyway. Wednesday night she shared about she went to, I think, the dry cleaners and met a young man. And she just testified to this man, and this man, you know, didn't know anything about God. And the Lord laid on Betty's heart to go back and to bring him a Bible. And when she went back, she said, the man said, "I knew you'd be here today. I'm ready to accept the Lord."
And he's here.
Well, praise the Lord. I thought of Betty as I was thinking about this. Betty was ready, willing to be used by God. She was in game shape. And for each of us, I thought of Herb. And how God himself came down to Herb and said, "Herb, I want you to be a missionary. I want you to go." And there's people here who are prayer warriors, who God himself comes down and has found favor with you and said, "I want you to pray for so-and-so, or I want you to be a Sunday school teacher, or a teacher, or a mechanic, or a carpenter for the Lord." God has reached down and touched and said, "I want you to be used by me today." And you can be assured that the same God who found favor with Mary has found favor with you and said, "Fear not." And as he said in Matthew 28, "I will be with you always. Fear not, I will be with you." I thought of a song that I'm not sure if I'm using it in the right context, but I like the words. And I'll read a verse. It says, "I will move ahead, bold and confident, taking every step in obedience. While I'm waiting, I will serve you. While I'm waiting, I will worship. While I'm waiting, I will faint not. I will run the race even while I wait." God is searching for humble, fully surrendered, devoted people to be a part of his amazing plan. Will you be one of those people today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. I thank you for this lesson of Mary and her devotion to you, her heart for you. And God, that's your desire for each one of us, to be servants for you, that you're fully devoted to you and service for you, that when you call, that we can be ready to be used, to move by you, to fulfill your plan, to meet people's needs, to bring people to you. And God, we thank you for those who hear your call and do act and are faithful. We lift them up and ask you to bless and give them much grace. And Lord, for those who are struggling with your call in their lives, I pray you continue to walk with them. And I pray that they would yield their lives to you so that they can be used by you to fulfill your purposes and your plan while there's time here. So Lord, we commit each person to you and lift them up to you in prayer for your blessing on their lives, that your name would be honored and glorified through us. In Jesus' name, amen.